If you have your Bibles, I want you to take them and I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. I don't know how many of you have ever had Genesis 12 read to you as a Christmas story, but I want to read it this morning, and then prayerfully as I get to the message, you will see the connection that I want to make this morning. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Let me pray, and then we're going to connect this to Christmas. Father, I thank you this morning for the celebration of Christmas. The celebration of your son being born in Bethlehem. For the celebration, Lord, of you becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And for the celebration, Lord, of your grace that you have bestowed upon us through and in Jesus Christ. And Father, in the celebration, as just as you came once, so also we recognize and we know you will come again. And so, Father, we celebrate this morning not only the truth that you came incarnate, but that also you will come to take all those who are yours to be with you. And we can look forward to that with great anticipation to that event as well. And so my prayer, Father, this morning is that as we continue to study and to look into your word for the truths you have given to us, that, Father, your Spirit would direct my thought and my words this morning as you have directed me this week. And I pray, Father, that your people will leave inspired to go back and not only celebrate Christmas as the coming of Jesus, but to remember Christmas as the truth that he is coming again. So speak through me now your truth, I pray, and I ask it in the name of our matchless Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And amen. Well, I want to begin this morning by thanking Ryan for covering for me last week. It was kind of a surprise maybe for some of you to come and have Ryan speak, because I didn't have it in the bulletin. I just overlooked it out of neglect to announce the fact that I was going to be gone. Ryan did know it. I didn't just pull him on him. I didn't call him on Saturday night and say, "I'm not going to be there." So he was aware of it. In fact, Ryan and I had talked. He did it, from what I understand, he did a great job. And as Ryan and I began talking about this, because I talked to him before Thanksgiving, kind of, okay, what do we want to do for a Christmas series? And he decided, you know what, I'll take on what's known in theological terms as the proto-evangelion, which is a big term for meaning the beginning, the first gospel in Genesis 3:15, where he will bite your heel, but you will crush his head. And the beginning of the gospel that's given already in Genesis, right from the curse. And I didn't hear the message, but I did read the title, and I thought, how effective, from curse to hope. And Ryan, good job for that. And so I was excited to come back and to be able to see that. Actually, we took off and went up. Many of you know my daughter adopted twins, and that necessitated, at least in their minds, a move from a small three-bedroom house to a larger four-bedroom house. And God opened up a home for them that was only a mile and a half away from the house they currently lived in. And so Lynette went up on Wednesday to kind of help them get started. And then I went up on Friday with my pickup truck so we could load stuff. And we took the weekend to kind of move them from their older house now into another house. All right. And we had a great time with that. I'll just kind of let you in on a little prayer need, if you would think to pray for them. Peter went back to kind of get some more things out of the old house this past week and found out that the water heater had leaked and had flooded the floors of their old house. So not only had they moved out, good thing many of the stuff was moved out, but you know that if you're going to move cabinets, you take the stuff off and you put it on the floor. So a lot of stuff also got damaged as a result of the water damage that's been done there. So they've got, Service Master coming in and restoring things and tearing out flooring and carpeting. And so they're going to have to do a lot of new work still on their old house. So you can keep that in prayer. But anyways, today, this morning, what I want to do is, This morning, what I want to do is continue in the same theme that Ryan and I had set up, showing the reality that Christmas was not an afterthought unto God. Christmas was a part of God's plan all along. And so this morning, as you see the title, I want to look at what I've got down as the seeds of Christmas seen planted in the Old Testament that then begin producing fruit in the New Testament. And the play on word seeds you'll see because it's here in Genesis, and then it's as well what we're going to be looking at. Because what I want to do this morning is I want us to realize that the coming of Jesus and God sending Jesus wasn't the situation where God thought, okay, I tell you what, I'll start with Abraham, and then if that doesn't work, well, Moses can bring in the law, maybe that'll get things straightened out, and then if that doesn't work, we'll come up with another plan. And finally God says, all right, nothing else is going to work. Jesus, you got to go. I want to get rid of that thinking. All right, let's just kind of, just right up front say, that's not it, okay? Help me out. Not, okay? That's not it. And I want to show you the fact that the coming of Jesus was the very plan of God that Ephesians tells us was in God's mind before he even created the world. For in reality, God knew that once he created man in Adam and Eve, that once he created mankind and gave mankind free will, that eventually of his own free will, man will choose to disobey God. How many of you can say amen? We do it, don't we? In our own free will, we choose to disobey God because God created us in his image with the will. Follow him or not, to have our own free will. And so last week, Ryan was able to pick up Genesis 3, and we saw that even in the curse of Adam, God had given hope of the fact that there was going to be one who would later on come. And so this morning, I want to pick it up in Genesis chapter 12. Now, next week, I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I might go to if I keep it in Genesis, I might go to Genesis 18. Otherwise, we might end up looking at other places as well. But this morning, what I want to do is to look at Genesis chapter 12, specifically at the verse where he says in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, if you notice the little superscript A, you'll see down below, it says seed. And so we see here, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your seed, I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. You'll see later on in scripture, again, the same promise is given. And to this seed, I will give this land. And to this seed, I will bless. And so we do see the promise of God given unto Abraham that out of this seed will come offspring. Now, if all you do is read Genesis, then you're going to look at this passage and you're going to say, the seed of Abraham was Isaac. And out of Isaac came Jacob and the patriarchs and the early, the establishment and the beginning of the people of God, the Jewish people today. But I want you to understand, as I'm doing the series through Isaiah, I've taught that, which was kind of interesting. We went to Jennifer's church up in Mundelein, actually Libertyville, and the pastor there was doing a Christmas series through Isaiah. And I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. And then I came back and I heard, I can't remember the second one, I've heard of somebody else that was going through the book of Isaiah, and I thought, wow, that's cool. So kind of reaffirms that maybe Isaiah is the cool thing to do these days. I don't know. But anyways, in our talking through Isaiah, we see that oftentimes God has an immediate prophecy and then an extended prophecy. All right. We know the fact that Jesus has come, right? Scriptures talk about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Has he not? Amen. Jesus came. We also know that Jesus is going to what? Come again. And so there's an extended prophecy to that as well. And so as we look at this prophecy, or as this promise given unto Abram, I want to show you that he was not only talking about the Jewish race or the Jewish people promised unto Abraham, who then would become like the stars of the sky in Genesis 15. But we're going to see also has a better fulfillment. So I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Because the Apostle Paul picks up on this passage in discussing the importance of faith over law. In discussing the fact that our salvation comes not through keeping the law and our obedience to God. Should we keep the law and obey God? Yes, we should obey God. But our salvation is granted unto us by faith. And as we pick it up in chapter 3, we recognize, verse 6 says, consider Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, continue with me. Jump to verse 15. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed. What I mean is this, meaning one person who is Christ. Do you see the connection? God makes a promise unto Abraham that, Abraham, I am going to bless your seed. And he has blessed the Jewish people as his people. But we recognize also that Paul says God was talking about more than just God's people in the Jewish people, but God was saying this is also referring to who? To Jesus. And so the point I want to make is seeing the seed of Christmas in Abraham is seeing the fact that Jesus is already being promised in Genesis chapter 12 at the coming of Jesus. And so we see one person who is Christ. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. So what I want to teach this morning, if you have your outline opened up, let's begin. We'll fill in the blanks quickly and be done. The seeds of Christmas were given to show, number one, the plan of God. You see, what I want us to understand that Paul describes here in Galatians is that the plan of God, as I've already indicated, was not the fact that somehow, eventually, yeah, Jesus, you're going to have to go. But the plan of God was already from the very foundation of the world that Jesus would go. For God knew, God understood that in making man in the very image of God, that man was going to choose to disobey. And in that fall, in that disobedience, there was going to have to be a solution given for their sin. And I believe that the Father and the Son, before the world was even created, now I do want to step aside because this is kind of my sanctified imagination, that before man was ever created, God and Jesus decided, well, what are we going to do if they, you know, decide to turn against us? God says they will sin. And Jesus says ultimately, well, then what are we going to have to do? Somebody's going to have to pay the sacrifice. Now, you can use your imagination. Did God say, well, are you willing? Or did Jesus immediately say, I'll do it? We recognize that the plan of the coming of Jesus to become incarnate in order to become one of us and to take on human flesh was from the very plan of God before he ever even created mankind. So before Jesus even made us, he knew he was going to have to become one of us. And John records it in chapter 1 that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Now you can take that to mean he came unto his own children in whom he created, his own people in whom he created. But you can even understand that even further in the sense that he became one of them, because the scriptures goes on to say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we see from the very beginning, even from the time of Genesis chapter 3 and now Genesis chapter 12, God's plan was that he would send one, his one and only Son, to be the one who would come from eternity past. God had already planned this. And then I have down here a creation present. Ryan talked about that last week, the curse and the hope that comes from creation. And then the plan of God for the kingdom future. We recognize that God has a plan that is in operation now. It is taking place, and we are a part of that plan. As God has planned not only to bring unto himself a people for himself, as in the Jewish seed, but now also in those who believe in Jesus. So as we see the fact, I'll get to that in just a moment when I get into my other point of my message, but we see the fact that God has a plan to establish his kingdom future when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom at, again, the second advent of Jesus, at the second coming of Jesus. And so we do see that the seeds of Christmas were given to show the plan of God. Several years ago when I was a young boy, yeah, that was several years ago, right, when I was a young boy, my good high school friend and I went to the county fair. And of course, you know, at the county fair, they have those character guys, you know, that are drawing characters of people, giving them a big nose, you know, or doing this other thing, you know, or whatever they're trying to show. And the character was drawing a picture, and I was watching it, and it's just kind of like, what's he drawing? What's he drawing? And then as he kind of continued on drawing, I'm like, what is that? And to be a long story, and maybe I should really step down off the pulpit for this, but he was drawing a man basically chasing after a nude lady. And now, it wasn't graphic in the sense of, you know, it wasn't like X-rated, but I mean, it was very definite. And everybody looked at me like, what planet did you come from? You didn't get it? And I'm just kind of like, oh, well. My point is what? God has a plan for us. Some of us see it. Some of us don't. And at Christmas time, some of us get the message. Some of us don't. Hopefully not some of us. Some people don't. So that's why it was my joy to be able to share the message with kids and to get them to say, okay, what's the best thing about Christmas? Presents, family, food, Christmas tree, Santa Claus comes. I was able to respond to them, wait a minute, whose birthday is it? Jesus. I was able to take the kids and say, let me ask you this question. When you guys have a birthday party, what's the best part about having a birthday party? Oh, you get presents. I said, what would it be like if you had a birthday party and everybody came to your birthday party and they all got presents, but you got none? Well, that wouldn't be right. But isn't that what happens at Jesus' birthday party? We all get presents. But Jesus gets none. But we see that the very idea, the plan of God was that Jesus would be God's gift given to mankind, that we might be able to celebrate that at Christmas time. And so we see the first seed of Christmas was the plan of God. The second seed of Christmas was the promise of God. When we look at Genesis chapter 12, we see God makes a promise unto Abraham. Now, help me out with this. Abraham was 75 years old, the scriptures say, when he received the promise from God. He took his family, he moved them from Haran into Canaan, into the promised land. And he was 75 and he was waiting for the promise of God to come about. Help me out. Did he wait 5 years? 10 years? 15? Brooke, you're good with math, all right? You must be a homeschool mom. No, he waited what? He waited 25 years or 24 years. Because how old was Abraham when Isaac was born? When she got pregnant. Okay. And 100 when she's born. Okay. So, all right. So we see that even though the promise was given unto Abraham. Okay, even though it was given unto Abraham, it didn't come for 25 years. And so we do see here that when you look at the promise was given by God unto Abraham. But also in the promise given to God was to Abraham was the promise that your seed will come. Now, I don't want to do the math, and I don't know if Brooke can do the math that fast, but how long did it take for that seed to come? All right? Several years. And so we see that God's promise was given unto Abram that he would be the father of a great nation, and that the nation would be like the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea, and God fulfilled that promise unto Abram. He fulfilled it within the Jewish people of today. But yet we also recognize that God's promise was given unto Abraham by grace. Do you notice what it says? For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. See, the beauty of it all is understanding that when God chose Abraham, he didn't look down upon this world and say, let's see if I can find somebody who measures up to the standard to be able to be the father of all nations. Oh, Abraham, you look like you can do that. No, God looked down and chose Abraham even out of grace. In fact, later on in the Old Testament, God has to constantly keep reminding them. I didn't choose you because you were mighty. I didn't choose you because you were great. I chose you to give glory to me. And that's the beauty that we celebrate in Christmas, that as God has chosen us to be His children, He does it by His grace and by our faith. By us placing our faith in Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent to be born in Bethlehem as His Son, but the one who also went to the cross to become our Savior. And it is by God's grace that we are saved, but it's through our faith in Him that we likewise are able to become the children of God. Verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. For the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so we see God's grace is demonstrated to us in His promise. And so likewise, we recognize the promise of God is that as Jesus came, so also He will come. We recognize that just as God has promised to send His Savior into the world, the Messiah into the world, so also He will come again. And the scriptures say that He will come again to bring salvation unto us. And the fulfillment of our salvation in the new kingdom, in the new heavens, and the new earth. And so the seeds of Christmas were given to show the very promise of God's are true. As we understand the truth that God has given to us. The third seed. I've already covered most of this, so I can go through this one quickly, is the people of God. We recognize that in the seed of Genesis chapter 12 is the promise of God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And we recognize that God is faithful unto His people, unto the people of Israel. I'm not going to get into the idea, does the church replace Israel? Because you can have that argument all day long. My point is the fact that God is faithful unto His people and the promises that He has given unto His people. And so God has promised Abraham His offspring, His seed. And God fulfilled the promise for His people. But also Paul is now making the argument that it's not just the people who were circumcised that were the people of God. It's not just the Jewish people that make up the people of God, but Paul expands that as the apostle unto the Gentiles and says that God would also justify the Gentiles by faith. And look at then what verse 8 says. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel, the good news, in advance to Abraham. So we see Paul sees in the promise given to Abraham and the Jewish people, God sees that it's not just to them, but that God's desire is that all nations would be blessed and that Gentiles would be included as well. This opens up the blessings of God to not just the Jewish people, but to all people who would, by faith, claim Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we come to recognize that the people of God are not just the Jewish people, but they are the people of faith. The people who would believe, so also, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith, verse 9 says. And so we see here again that God has been faithful unto His people of all nations. And we look forward to the day when all tribes, all tongues, all nations will gather before the throne of Christ. and all people of God will gather together to bring of His praises as the people of God. Let me go to my final point, and with this I'll close. We see here the seed of God's plan. We see here the seed of God's promise and of God's people. But the last one I want to put is the purpose of God. Verse 19, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. This is kind of tricky stuff. You can deal with that. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. And so as God was the one who mediated unto us, we see God's purpose. And God's purpose is that His grace would be made known. We need to recognize that God saved us not just to keep our sorry hind ends out of hell, but that God saved us so that we might be demonstrations of His grace. That the grace of God to us, as Paul said, the wretched, the worst of all mankind, but God's grace was demonstrated even unto me. And so all of us recognize that the very purpose of God is to show His grace and to redeem His people and to establish His kingdom. For we recognize this morning that as Jesus Christ came, so also He will come again. And we recognize that even here, the very purpose of God was to demonstrate His grace by redeeming a people unto Himself, to establish a kingdom unto Him. And we likewise look forward with great rejoicing to the return of that kingdom, to the coming of that kingdom, when Jesus shall come again in the Advent series. As Jesus has come, so Jesus will come again to establish His kingdom. And we look forward to that day. Let me ask you this. How many days until Christmas? Anybody got it? Huh? 10, right? Yeah. I remember as a little boy, I would get the newspaper. My mom would get the newspaper. And as January began, there would be a little box in the corner that would say, how many days were left until Christmas? And I'd get the paper and I'd open it up and, oh, 10 days. Now, how many of you are like, 10 days? That's all? All right. Lynette and I have many times this year, because I think it really was because of Thanksgiving being so late. Everybody's kind of like, really? Christmas is only 10 days away? But we look forward to the coming of Christmas. Now, I have to admit the fact that the older I've gotten, the less I look forward to it. But then again, my kids have grown up, and now it's grandkids that are looking forward to it. But the same thing, my point is the fact that just as we look forward to Christmas and the birth of Jesus, we look forward to what? The second advent of Jesus. And so with great anticipation, as we wait for Christmas, so also we wait for the second coming, because God's promise will come true. God's plan was designed before the foundation of the world. God's promise was given unto us. God's people have been redeemed by Christ through faith. And God's purpose is that He will come back again to set up and establish His kingdom so that all might show the glory and the grace of God. Amen? Amen.